Thank you for the offertory, and thank you for your faithful giving unto the service of the Lord. I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament prophet of Ezekiel, and we're going to pick up with chapter 34 and verses 11 through 16 will be our text for today. Ezekiel chapter 34. Verses 11 through 16, the word of the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, Lord, the opportunity to gather together, and we thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord, today that you would direct and guide so that every word spoken would come from you, and that, Lord, you would speak to the hearts of each and everyone gathered here together today. We recognize, Lord, our need of you, and so hide your servant behind the cross and speak through fallible lips of clay, the infallible word of God. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you haven't been with us for a while, really from Resurrection Sunday on, we've been talking about that our Redeemer lives, obviously, and we've been talking a lot about the context of shepherd and sheep. We've used, Scripture has, David as an example in the Old Testament. A man after God's own heart, that he was a shepherd boy, made the king, and that he had a shepherd's heart, and that is the heart of God, isn't it? And we've talked about what's the heart of sheep, is a willingness to be led, and so on, a recognition that we are weak and he is strong, a recognition that we are in need of him, and willing, therefore, to follow as Jesus is our good shepherd. This passage in Ezekiel is an interesting one, but it's not in and of itself. It's a thought that comes throughout Scripture, of course, but it lies in context to the beginning of the chapter in which under-shepherds, pastors, had scattered the flock of God. And now God is proclaiming he's going to send a shepherd. This shepherd is going to seek out the sheep. He is going to bind up those that are broken and so on. And he's going to gather them together in a place here described as the mountain of Israel. And there he will have a fold for them. I've been thinking a lot about this idea of John 10. Honestly, it's as we consider Jesus this morning. And in John 10, of course, you know he is the good shepherd. It's the I am statements of Jesus there. And in particular, as we look at that, something kind of jumped off of the page at me. And it was something I don't know if I've ever fully stopped to consider before. And I wouldn't say that I have a full and complete understanding even now. But let's turn to John chapter 10 and read what Jesus said. He starts out with a double emphasis of verily, verily, or truly, truly. You know that the Gospel of John carries more references to the word truth than any other book in the Bible. And when Jesus says not only truly, but truly, truly, maybe we should pay attention. This is rather important, what he's about to say. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I'll tell you what jumped off the page was this idea of a sheepfold. And I got to thinking, and in my imagination, and we all have an imagination, don't we? I picture, probably not a good thing to even confess, but I picture kind of a rudely put together wooden structure. Maybe crooked pieces of wood and just kind of laid together out in the pasture, you know, just gotta put something together to keep these sheep from wandering off, right? That's actually not what the Bible presents at all. In fact, when the Bible talks about folds, about a sheepfold, it actually ties it to the same kind of wording that it talks about walled cities. And so you have walled cities that people inhabit, and you have a sheepfold that sheep inhabit. And what's interesting is the two of them kind of run on a parallel track. And so you have things within a sheepfold that I had never thought about before, but they were probably, most all of them, made out of stone. You had a stone structure, a stone wall. They would have all been located very close or even around a body of water, a stream of some kind for the water. And they would have had a tower. Never gave that a thought ever, that there would be a tower attached to a sheepfold. And so I got to looking, right? And I got out my concordance and I start going through all these lovely passages that talk about a sheepfold within Scripture. And I want to just focus on one for just a moment, and it's the little minor prophet of Micah, chapter 4, just three verses. Let me read them for you, and I think you'll see why I'm coming to where I'm coming to, okay? This is Micah chapter 4, 6 through 8. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. And I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off for a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now when you talk about a sheepfold, see, that's a little more impressive of a thing, isn't it? This stronghold and this tower that he, and he even emphasizes, O tower, that is going to be there. And so I got to thinking about what it is that Christ is our Shepherd King has done for us and why he's done it for us. Is that a good thing to think? It is a good thing to think. And so when you think about a sheepfold, the thought that should come into our mind is this is a place of provision and protection from the world's dangers around us. Would you agree with that? That as sheep, they would need that protection. The flock would need that protection. And so God had established that for their good. For their provision and their protection, God has established a sheepfold. What a lovely thought that is. And so when you go back through passages of Scripture, turn with me to the Psalms to start with. And we'll look at just a few of them. I'll put them as best I can in order. The first one is Psalm 18. And verses 1 through 6. Psalm 18, 1 through 6. And what I would like for you to stop and consider, whether this is talking about a walled city or specifically a sheepfold, I think we can apply it to both of them. You will note in Psalm 18 at the very beginning, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, that's scripture, that's the opening of this psalm. And then we go with verse 1, a psalm of David, a shepherd boy, a shepherd king. Psalm 18, 1 through 6. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Anybody here under distress today? Anybody here struggling with fear today? Anybody here finding your insufficiency in yourself today? Anybody here looking for some place of strength and solitude and provision and protection? Anybody? Stay in Psalms and turn to Psalm 61. The theme then just begins to run through these psalms, and many of them, of course, written by David. They're the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David. This is Psalm 61. Let's read verses 1 through 4 together. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. You see it there again. A cry from a man in need unto a God who has provided a shelter and a strong tower from his enemies. Turn to Psalm 144. Psalm 144, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. Again, a psalm of David, the shepherd boy made shepherd king. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and in him whom I trust, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you should take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you should make account of him? The Psalm of David, with a shepherd's heart, crying out to his shepherd, the Lord God, for strength and provision. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. We've looked at what David has written just briefly. Now we look to what Solomon, known scripturally as the wisest man to ever live, what Solomon would write in the Book of Wisdom in Proverbs 18 and verse 10. And we have a little song we sing with this one. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and he is safe. The sheepfold. You see, in John, Jesus is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. In John 10, Jesus is the door. I am the door. And in John 10, Jesus is the fold. I am the fold. Now, go back to 2 Samuel. Go back to your historical books, 2 Samuel, and you will get the context then to why David wrote these things and in the situation he was in when he wrote them. And it's 2 Samuel chapter 22. I'm just going to read 1 through 4 and give you homework. You can go home and read the rest yourself. But 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 4. And David spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And in each of these passages, you come to this realization. The reality that Christ has provided a sheepfold for us comes or should come to the forefront of our minds when we are conflicted, when we have sorrow, when we are broken, when we find that we are weak, when we find that we have enemies, when we find that the world is against us. The reality is for the Christian is the time is now to cry out to the Lord to provide for us that safe place. The question then, obviously, as God is gathering his sheep together that are scattered, as he was healing those who are broken, as he is providing for them protection, the question would have to be asked, wouldn't it? What is this fold? Do you know what this fold is? The fold to which Scripture is speaking, the fold to which Jesus in John 10 tells us he has a fold for his sheep, is the church. This is what God has provided. A place of safety, a place of provision, a place of encouragement, a place where the sheep of God of his pasture gather together to receive the grace and the mercy from God as he has sanctified us, pulling us together in one. You see, the shepherds of the Old Testament had scattered the flock of God, much as we have been discovering in 2 Peter, our study in Sunday school. False teachers scatter, true teachers, true prophets, true shepherds draw the flock of God together into a place of provision and protection. That place is the church. And it's by his design. You see, the issue within our lives is we're an independent bunch. And we're narcissistic and we think we have strength when in reality we are weak. We think we can see when in reality we are blind. We think we can provide for ourselves when in reality we cannot provide anything. And what Scripture is meant to teach you is you absolutely need a shepherd and the fold that he has provided. Somehow the church in Western culture has begun to believe that God has created you to be a free-range chicken. He hasn't. He has created you to be a sheep in need of a shepherd. What's happening in the church today is we've forgotten what God has done. We've forgotten what he has provided. And so what you find in people's lives, and I run into it on a nonstop basis, somebody who professes to be a follower of Christ, that's not my decision or my judgment to make. They profess that, and they never get into the fold to get the strength and the provision and the protection they need. They try to wing it all on their own like a free-range chicken. What's the lesson here? Get into the fold. Now, what we find in John chapter 10 is interesting, and it leads us into so much of Scripture, but the question that came to my mind was then, if Christ is the creator of the fold, the sheepfold, and if he has one fold and it's for all. Look at verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Interesting, isn't it? How then does Christ bring us into the fold? He calls us. He speaks to us. We hear his voice. He knows our name. The whole idea then in salvation is that Christ would call you independently as an individual into a relationship with him, but that is not where it ends. He also then adds to the church daily those that should be saved, as the book of Acts says, and therefore to live a life of fulfillment in Christ, it appears to me you need to be a part of the church and an active part of the church and in the church. You see, it only makes sense. David would know this. David would know as a shepherd the importance of caring for a flock. And David would know as a king the importance of shepherding as a king over the nation of Israel. And all of that comes from the heart of a shepherd who says, I know you're weak, but I am strong. I know you're afraid, but I will bring you peace. I know that you're unsure, but I will put your feet on solid ground. And God calls to us, and he speaks to us. And John 10 and verse 4 says, and when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Well, how does Jesus call us, and how does he speak to us, and how does he instruct us in the pathways that are good for us? In the beginning of the Gospel of John, we have it this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You know that word there is logos. You know that the word, capital W word here, is speaking of Jesus, don't you? That Jesus is the Word, that Jesus is the articulated mind of God. If we went to 1 John chapter 1, which we did not so terrible long ago, it opens up in much the same way. I love the way John writes this letter. But in 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. Again, this is a title for Jesus. You'll remember that Jesus said that his words are spirit and they are life. If you go back to the Gospel of John, and if you go to chapter 17, this beautiful prayer of Jesus over the sheep of his pasture, and in John chapter 17, verses 14 through 19, Jesus says, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. Where would he keep us from the evil? In the fold. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. And then he says this in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so what we have is a Savior, a shepherd who loves the flock. And he desires that the flock would gather together in his name, in his presence. And there it is Christ who would speak the word of truth, sanctifying you unto God and separating you from the world. This is God's design. You know, sometimes we get this idea that, oh, I'm a Christian, but I really don't like the church. I'm here to tell you that makes no sense. Now, I know the church has got problems. You know why? Made up of a bunch of dumb sheep. That's why. But the design and the goal of God is that we would be sanctified, that we would be one, and that we would be united with our shepherd, and that he would protect us, and he would lead us, and he would feed us. When you come to church, you should be coming as sheep led to meet with your shepherd. Because this is God's design, and it's for our good. It's for our good. I was listening to somebody the other day talking about the passage of Scripture that said, train up your child in the way you shall go, and when you're old, you'll not depart from it. And this gentleman was talking about how that's not really what we think it is, and I fully agree with him. We've kind of made a bit of a mess out of that at times. But what I want to talk about here as we just conclude this thought is God's design is for your well-being while you're here. And when we look forward gathering at the river, which I truly look forward to, I recognize those three tenses of salvation that I have on the day that I accepted and believed Christ as my own. I have been saved from the condemnation of sin. That's done with. Christ has dealt with that, right? So I have a clear conscience to God. It isn't like the sprinkling of blood over the atonement seat in the Old Testament, which was a covering over your sin. Christ has done away with it. It's done. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, right? You agree with that? So we have been saved from the condemnation of our sin, and I know all too well that I am being saved from the power of sin. I know there's a battle, and I know this is not my home, and I know that the philosophies of the world and the things that are being pushed on me are contrary to Christ, and I know that I'm being tempted every day to desert my Christ, and I need to fight off of those things in the power of Jesus Christ and stick with him because he's my shepherd, he loves me, and he's providing for me. I know I need that protection. I know I need that provision. And therefore, I get into what God has provided, and that's the church. I've come through a week. I need that which God provides me. All the while, I'm looking forward to that day when the presence of sin is no more. Until I get there, I need the church. It's God's provision. The people of the Old Testament, the Jewish people, would teach their children. And they would teach their children the alphabet in the book of Psalms. And they would teach them specifically out of Psalm 119. You know that Psalm 119 is the longest of the Psalms, easily 176 verses. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to read just a few verses, and I'm going to ask you a very important question. When I conclude reading verses 97 through 104. This is Psalm 119, 97 through 104. The title is Mem. It's a Jewish letter that means a flowing well. Here the psalmist writes, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Can you read that portion of that psalm as your own? Can you go before the Lord and tell him, I love your precepts, I love your law, I love your word, I love your thoughts? Can you go before the Lord and actually say, I love what you're saying? Can you say that? Because it is through the voice, it is through the word that God calls us into that sheepfold. The sheepfold is that place where God's sheep gather and hunger to hear him speak. You know, if you go through Psalm 119, it's really interesting. Let me just read some of these for you, starting at the very first of Psalm 119. The letter is Aleph. I'm just going to read the first verse of the first letter of the alphabet in the Jewish language that were taught to their children. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. The second letter starts at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The third letter is verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Verse 25. My soul cleaves unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. And it continues through. Every letter starts with a confession of a need and a love and a willingness to keep his word. Do you know what keeps us out of the snares of life? The word of God. Do you know where you're taught that? In the church. Do you know that you need that in order to live a life that brings glory to him as he has purchased you? It really is the question. Do you love the word of God? And if not, and maybe not, for most of my life I didn't love the word of God. But I find today I can't live without it. I can't live without it. And that's my encouragement to you today. If you find that you don't have a love for the word of God, for his law, for his precepts, then I would encourage you to go to that shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ask him, beg with him, give me a love to hear your voice. And he'll do it. He'll do it. To get into the fold and provide and find provision and protection from all of the challenges that lie around us. I don't believe that he's called us to be free-range chickens, but rather sheep who are free to keep his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you have declared us to be sheep and you the shepherd, Lord, we desire to be biblical sheep. We recognize, Lord, that left to our own, we will not choose the right way. That, Lord, we need you directing, guiding, providing the things that we are in need of. And so, Lord, the idea of being a Christ follower is exactly that, one who follows after Christ. The idea that you have within your word is that we would not walk independent of you, but that we would walk in full dependence of you, and that we would recognize the things that you have provided. Certainly, Lord, you have provided us your spirit that dwells within us so that we might know that we are yours and that we might be directed, prompted by the Holy Spirit into everything that you have said. But Lord, there's the design of the church as well. This is the fold. This is where the word goes forth. This is where the sheep come to hear your voice. And so, Lord, today, for this gathering of people here, I would, Lord, that you would speak to each one of our hearts and that you would give us a hunger and a desire, not only to come and to hear the word preached, but also, Lord, to be in the word themselves and to grow thereby. That, Lord, we might be instructed of you and for you in knowing how we are to live out these lives that you have called us to. And so I thank you, Lord, for the church today. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing that yesterday was when we gathered together and served and loved one another. I thank you, Lord, for this gathering today where we have come to hear from you and how you have spoken. Lord, I thank you for the potluck that we are going to share in downstairs as we come from different homes and different families and different lifestyles, but we come to share in the one thing, the unity of the Spirit which you have instilled within us. And that our fellowship with is truly with you, and it creates a deep sense of joy within us. And yet, Lord, I find that within me is a bit of a knot-headed sheep sometimes. There are times when I stray from the things that are good for me. And so, Lord, give us a hunger and a desire for you, for your church, and for the word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.